Good morning. We're going to hear the word of God. Before, I want to say how great the worship leading team are. Isn't it great? Wonderful. So we're reading from Matthew chapter 13, and first from verses 24 to 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his fields. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the sweet wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then from verse 47. "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Amen.
Thanks, Chris. I want to thank Jonathan very much for allowing me to come and speak to you again. I did think that when I was here last May, that might possibly be the last time I would visit this church. What did I know? I shut my mouth. Just God does things that you don't expect. And I also want to thank you, Nick, for giving me this text. You know, your email with this text arrived on the very day that my daily devotions were in Matthew 13. Like, so I couldn't refuse, could I? Like, that was when I read the email again. That's the text? That's this morning's reading? So it's been great to be able to prepare on this. There's too much in the whole of this text for me to deal with, so I'm really going to concentrate on the parable of the weeds. But before I get to that, the last little bit that talks about the householder who brings out from the storehouse the old and the new, that person has to keep accessing the old treasure of the law, that is, what's right and wrong. Have to keep on accessing that. And add to that the new treasure of the kingdom, the good news of God's patience and kindness and love. When you go from being someone who's really expert in the law to someone who's a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, you go from being somebody who knows all about it to being somebody who's a student. And that's all of us, you know. Like, but that doesn't mean that we let go of the past. The law is actually good. It's just not enough. So you hang on to the old and you going to the new. And it really occurred to me in speaking to you this morning, that's kind of relevant to MCF. You're at a point, change of leadership with Jonathan stepping down. It's really important to hang on to the old. And actually, I don't mean Jonathan, because Jonathan, you actually did this when you were first arrived 30 years ago. You honoured the past. You didn't try and take this church in a brand new direction. It was already on the estate. The calling of God for what this church was to be was starting to become clear. It wasn't completely clear, but it was kind of on the way. And you went with that. And you brought, to add to the old, that you added the new. And here we are. And now it's the same challenge. Don't forget the beautiful things that God has placed in this church. You know, there's a heritage here that is absolutely precious. So don't let go of that. But it's not enough. You haven't arrived yet. There are new things. There's new treasures. So be like that wise householder who brings out of the storehouse old treasures and new treasures. Stand firmly on the past of what's been built here, but be adventurous. You know, keep moving forward. Okay, so now the parable of the weeds. Can we pray together as we begin this? Father God, as we look into your word to consider deeply what Jesus' story means, we're looking into the Bible, which is a really old book. And it's a treasure. And we love this old book. But Lord, there's new insights that you want to bring by your Holy Spirit to us right now. So we want to stand really solidly in the heritage of this beautiful old book. But know that it's not just old. This is new and fresh because your Holy Spirit will enliven us into our minds and our hearts here this morning. So come, Lord, give us fresh insights that are consistent with the old, but take us into some new territory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to start with this. What are you thankful for this morning? What's in your world, in your life, that is good, that makes you smile, that you're really thankful for? Give me some ideas. Sorry, what was that one? Family, yeah. Salvation. What else? Sunshine. Yeah, simple things. Yeah, when it comes. Yeah. What else?
Life.
Yeah.
Food.
Yes.
Music.
Absolutely.
Freedom.
Yep. There are many, many good things that have been planted in our world, in our lives, and we can be really grateful for that. But I'm sure there are also a lot of other things that make you cross, that make you afraid, that make you sad. Life's a mix, isn't it? There's the good and the bad. We're like that field. There's good seed and there's weeds. Jesus is talking about something here that we can all relate to. It's a mix. We can't pretend that everything is good, but neither do we want to get bogged down into thinking, oh, you know, we're overwhelmed by all the bad stuff. It's a mix. So as you know, the kingdom of God isn't a location like a king's realm. It's the way things are when God takes charge. That's the kingdom of God. It's his setup. It's his way of doing stuff. So when God steps in to take charge of a situation that is seriously messed up, like our world, I'm sure you'd agree, our world is seriously messed up. But we look around and there's also gorgeous, fabulous, there's wonderful things in our world as well. But it is messed up. When God steps into a situation like that, that's seriously messed up, how does that work? How does God do it? What's his kingdom like? How does he express his rule, his will, in a situation like we're all living in? Big scale, small scale. That's what this parable's about. So in Jesus' story, the first thing to get clear is where the weeds come from. Because the servants say, hang on, didn't you sow good seed? Where's the bad seed come from? Maybe God did sow bad seed? Is the bad stuff that we see in our world, is that part of his design? Is the things that are happening in my life right now, has God sent that to me? Pretty clear answer to that. No. God is not the author of the weeds. They didn't come from him. That's not his design. God's intention for your life and for the whole of his creation is good. Completely good. Yeah. But the weeds come. Because we've got an enemy. So let's get this clear. If there's things that you see in the world that is of that weed category, things that are not right, things that are evil, things that make you afraid or cross or sad, those things didn't come from God. The servants in Jesus' story are a bit like us, I think, because they see something's wrong and they say, well, let's fix this. Let's pull the weeds up. That'd be our way of doing it, because we see stuff that's wrong and we just want to sort it. But let's, as soon as possible, please. Are you a bit like that? Do you tend to see things that's wrong and you want to sort it out? Like right now, some of you looking at the cross behind me and going, why did he make it crooked? Did anybody notice when I made it? Right now, would you really like to get up here and just make it straight? Who would really like to get that cross straight?
OCD.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can do that. Anne is now relieved. That urge to sort it out is not something you always want to give in to. Do negative things capture your attention? Does it bother you, particularly so much so that you forget to see the good? My wife is a proofreader. Imagine what it's like living with that. You know, every little jot and tittle, she can read through the draft manuscript and she spots every spelling mistake, every punctuation error, everything that's, you know, italicized when it shouldn't be, or, you know, everything. She's got a lot of material to work on in me, and she's very gracious. There is a place for correct precision if you're publishing a book or you're tuning an engine or you're playing a piece of music. But there's a way of being too fixated on what's wrong. And that can lead to what we call throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Dealing with evil in the world and in our lives is more complex than we often imagine. So there's a question here about, you know, what are you going to focus on? I wonder if it's the same in the UK. In Australia, Christians have a bit of a reputation for being nitpickers, for being fault finders, for being negative, always pointing the finger at what's morally wrong. Does that happen here? That's a bad reputation to have. If we could also see the good, because it's a mix, you know, like almost whatever we look at, it's a mix. There's, you know, some good aspects, some negative aspects. If we could see the good, at least with the same weight as we see the evil, that might give us pause to think, well, what do we want to do about this? Where do we want to start? Do we want to start by being a nitpicker, or do we want to start by being somebody who can encourage at least a little grain, something that God has planted there, which is good? Or, you know, where people are heading in a direction, they might not be in a good place, but they're kind of heading in the right direction. Maybe we want to encourage that rather than condemning them for being in the wrong place. There will come a time to sort it out.
This parable is really clear about that. Like, Jesus really stresses it. Judgment will come, and he's pretty colourful in his language about how that judgment is going to come. Don't be in any doubt. God is not mocked. He's not going to just wink at these weeds in his creation and go, oh, well, you know, there's a fair bit of wheat. Not at all. God intended his world to be good, completely good, and he won't rest until it is that way. But he's patient. He's not like us. He doesn't look at it and go, right, let's sort that out. Let's rip out those weeds right now. The way the kingdom of God works is different to our way. Not ripping into the weeds now doesn't mean they don't matter. They do. Just before Christmas, we had a bit of a mini crisis. It was a crisis for 200 people who got really, really sick because they ate some spinach leaves. They pack it up in Costco and Aldi. So it's summertime for us, so we're having salads and people are buying these spinach leaves and making salads. 200 people got really sick because a farm, Riviera Farms, distributed these leaves and they were contaminated with a weed called thorn apple or Jimson weed. I don't know whether anyone's ever heard of those things. We never had. But apparently the juvenile version of this weed looks quite like spinach. But when it matures, it's really obvious. But at the point of harvest, no one was really paying attention. And so the thorn apple got mixed in with the spinach leaves and people who ate them got really sick. That matters. Those weeds should have been pulled out. Well, there's something much, much more serious going on, and Jesus says the weeds are going to get pulled out. All that evil, the violence, the cruelty, the lies will be weeded out. Justice will come. But when? Every time I come in my front door, I get a little illustration of this. Because, again, just before Christmas, my wife wanted me to paint the front door. It's been a colour that she's hated for a long time. She wanted this particular colour, Monument. It's dark grey. And she said, oh, I want it really glossy, really shiny. So I thought, right, for Christmas, all the family coming around, I'll paint the front door. So I painted it all up, got the right paint, and it was looking really, really good. I'd completed the job, stood back, and right on the bottom left hand, as a little bug has landed in the paint. Now, you probably all know enough about painting and decorating that what I did next, you know it's wrong. You know I should have left the bug alone, right? No. See, I saw the little thing that was wrong and I wanted to fix it. I wanted to put it right. So I got my brush and very carefully brushed the bug out. But you know what? Every time I come in my front door, there's a little blemish there because the finish is not the same. It's not glossy like the rest of it. I should have just left it alone. Because if I'd done that and let the paint properly dry, what should I have done? Let it dry, sand it back, I could have got rid of that bug, I could have made it right, but I just couldn't wait. We ask, why doesn't God do something? Like right now, why doesn't God do something about the war in Ukraine? Well, a lot of revolutionary groups in Jesus' day wanted God to pull out the weeds of the Roman occupation. And they wanted Jesus to pull out the weed of the Greek cultural dominance, which was just sweeping away a lot of the deep values of the Hebrew people. And we look back and we ask, why didn't Jesus say something more definitive about the evil of slavery? Why didn't he say something more definitive about the repression of women? Why didn't he do that? Well, he did do quite a lot about those things. but not in the way that we expected. It's a kind of a slow burn. You know, when trying to improve things, you can often make them worse because you don't understand the unintended consequences. I wonder if you've ever done this. You've seen a situation, you've tried really hard to make it better, and then it doesn't work out that way. You actually make it worse by meddling. And you look back and you think, I just should have left it alone. I shouldn't have meddled. I shouldn't have gone and said that. It would have been better just to stay out of it. Well, you know, God doesn't meddle. Because we don't see the unintended consequences. We think, oh, well, if I do this, that'll work out well. Oh, no, sorry, that didn't work. Because we didn't see, we couldn't predict where that action was going to go. But God is not stuck with that. He sees where things can go. And so he doesn't meddle. He acts decisively in his own way, in his own time, and he will have his way. He's never caught by surprise. But we don't see all those unintended consequences and we think, well, why doesn't God just do something about it? We have to trust his greater wisdom. There will come a time, judgment will come, the weeds will be pulled, but our Father in heaven says on a lot of things, not yet. Of course, a lot of us are in a bit of a hurry for God to sort out things in others' lives. Everybody loves to see justice done on somebody else. But of course, if justice were to be introduced into our own lives, we might be a little more uncomfortable with that. The one to sort it out is God. Don't meddle. You don't know enough. Are we in a position to judge? No, we're not. And in any case, who are the weeds and who are the wheat? Because Jesus says, you know, we can relate this to issues and that sort of thing, but Jesus actually says in his interpretation that the weeds are people. The good seed are people. So who are the good people and the weedy people? Well, I'm thinking I'm a bit of both. You know, the saying goes, the dividing line between good and evil runs through the centre of every human heart. Be careful. If you want Jesus to pull the weeds, be careful what you wish for. You may not be ready just yet. Maybe he's being patient with you. And the Lord says, extracting vengeance is my role. I'll be the one to repay. I'm like you. I get all head up. I want to make it right. I want vengeance. I don't want things to be left like they are because it's wrong. But the Lord is saying, it's not your role, Rick. Don't you try and take vengeance. You'll muck it up. And I'm sure that's true. So in this field where there's wheat and there's weeds, what if the field is me? I'm really pleased that God is patient with me. I've needed every bit of that patience. I still do. And if he's been so patient with me, I need to pass that patience on to others. And how else am I going to land this? What do I learn out of this for myself? Last Sunday, I was sitting in my local church back in Sydney, and I was thinking about all of what was going on. I've been a minister for a long time, so, you know, it's a professional failing. You look at things and you think, oh, yeah, I wouldn't do it like that. You know, no, that shouldn't have been there. And so I'm being a little bit critical about what's going on. And then, you know, the person gets up to preach, and I'm thinking, no, that's not right. And probably a bit like what some of you are doing right now. And fair enough, you know. But look, the Lord really spoke to me and said, look, don't look for the flaws in the worship service or in the sermon. See, like, there's something good here. Every Sunday, there's something really good. Look for that. See if you can, you know, nurture and nourish the good. Get everything out of that. And look, the stuff that's the weeds, yeah, just don't worry about that. And let God worry about that. Focus on the good. And I think about political and social movements in our time that strive for their vision of justice. I'm thinking about non-Christian, sometimes even anti-Christian, political and social movements. And they're really trying to go after what they think is justice and righteousness. Now, they may be completely deluded about what that is, but they think they're going for that kind of thing. And their efforts are usually a mixture of good and bad. So I think about, the environmental movement. For too long, the church vacated the stage on the environment. We didn't have anything to say about looking after the planet. And so non-Christian movements arose. You know what? They're partly right. They're teaching us some stuff that, you know, we should be taking up because the planet does matter. And I think about the Black Lives Matter movement. They've got something to say. Black lives do matter. They do. Okay, that might be mixed together with some other stuff that we think is, you know, coming from another place. But don't let that blind us to the fact that there's something really important to be said about racial justice. So let's get back in the game and be in conversation about that. The scriptures have a lot to say about that, and we've been quiet for too long. Then there are other kinds of movements, like now. Well, you can imagine. There's lots of things going on in our world. I'm not going to get my friends into trouble by saying things. What I would say is the application of this parable of the weeds says we're going to spot stuff that's going on in some of these social and political movements, and we'll say, that's a weed. That's wrong. Okay, you may have spotted very accurately what the weed is. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to be like those workers and say, well, let's just go in and rip it up? Not so fast. Wait there. Maybe you'll do some damage while you're ripping up that weed, that idea or that approach, you know, and you're thinking, oh, we've got to come against that. We've got to stand against that in the name of the Lord. Well, you just might rip up something good at the same time. Wait. There'll come a time. See if you can spot something good in that and encourage that. The truth matters. I'm not saying it doesn't matter and you just, you know, shut up and say nothing at all. But there's ways of conveying truth in love that actually enable people to warm to the wisdom of God rather than being crushed by it by someone who's just nitpicky and fault-finding. If the new treasure of the gospel is that God is patient and kind, we must also access the old treasure, truth, that God is just and he will put the world to rights when he chooses to do so. When he brings this age to a close, there will be a reckoning. And I don't know about you, but I need to remind myself of that regularly. We're not just floating along in an aimless... This is going somewhere. God is leading history around to the point where he wants it and he will judge. The weeds will be pulled. And friends, we must be ready for this. Yes. Then, it says in Matthew 13:43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. We're going to go into a time of communion now, and Graham's going to lead us. And Gregor reminded me, we're away a few days, we're thinking about this together, and he reminded me that at the Last Supper, there was a weed sitting there. There was a bad egg in the room. Judas was there. And Jesus served him the bread and the cup. That's significant. Graham, would you come?